Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
All right, brothers and sisters in Christ, I bring you greetings in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I just want to shout out to many of the returnees, either you are studying or working or living overseas. I see many familiar faces back here over the last few weeks. Welcome back home. Hope you get to enjoy good food and warmer weather. All right. Okay, it's always a joy to bring the word of the Lord to you all, especially in this season of Advent. And let me start with a little bit about myself. Now, I must confess that I'm not the tidiest of people. In fact, when a young adult saw the amount of junk in my car boot, he made a remark. This is not my car, by the way. Yeah, he made a remark. He said this to me, Pastor, do you live in your car? All right, yes, indeed, tidiness is one major point of improvement for me. Now, if my car is this unkept, I must also confess that my house is also not the tidiest. And so when I hear that when guests or friends are visiting, I scramble to clean, to tidy up, to rearrange things. Friends, how many of us can relate to this? That while I believe your house is a lot more tidier than mine, whenever we hear that a guest or friend is coming over, or when an event like a CG gathering or Christmas dinner is about to take place in our homes, what we would do is that generally we would take some time to clean the place to make sure that our house is more acceptable for our guests. And so, friends, our attitude towards the season of Advent should be something like this. The word Advent means coming. And this is a season where a month before Christmas, we prepare to celebrate and to remember the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so just as we take time to prepare our house, especially for our guests or for our upcoming event, the season of Advent is a time where we should spiritually prepare ourselves. This is a season where we need to be prepared to spiritually clean and tidy up our personal walk with Jesus as we look forward to Christmas. So friends, in this season of Advent, let us not just look forward to the holidays, the lights, the fancy decorations and presents, but let us remind ourselves that 2,000 years ago, hope came to our world. And one day, our eternal hope will come once again. And when He comes, He will bring everlasting peace and joy for eternity. So friends, over the last four weeks, as we come to church, as we listen to the songs that have been sung, and as the word of God being preached, here is a reminder. Let us be intentional in cleaning house to prepare ourselves spiritually for our Lord's arrival. So this morning, we are continuing our Advent series on Isaiah's description of the coming Messiah. In this passage, Isaiah describes the coming Messiah as the everlasting Father, the mighty God, the wonderful Counselor, and the Prince of Peace. So this morning, we'll be talking about peace. And before we hear of the word of the Lord, may I invite our sister in Christ, Carrie, who is a team leader in London City Mission, otherwise known to us as LCM. And she is also the daughter of our longtime church members, Paul and Carrie, to share a little bit of how they bring peace in the work that they do. All right, over to you, Carrie.
Thanks, Pastor. Lovely to be here. So I might be a stranger to you, but wonderfully through Jesus, through our shared faith in Christ, through our shared bond of peace in Jesus. We are church family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm a stranger, but I was actually dedicated as a baby in this church many, many, many years ago. So some of you might have been around for that. So I work for London City Mission, or LCM. You might not know about it because our mission field, of course, is London. But it has a global reach. So we're just in London, but because London is so wonderfully diverse and the world is in London, there are 270 nations or more represented in London and over 300 languages spoken in London. So the world is at our doorstep in London. It's a wonderful and big and sometimes overwhelming mission field. And London City Mission, our vision is to work alongside the church. Obviously, the mission field is huge, it's massive, and we work alongside the church. The strategy is to serve alongside the church family there in London, to envision, to equip, to train, and to serve alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ in mission. And wonderfully, last week, my team, we had the wonderful blessing of running friendship cafes and kids clubs and many other ministries, ESOL classes, for the refugee families that come to London. So they come from war-torn countries. They come feeling very traumatized, very lost. But wonderfully, we serve alongside the church and we reach out with the love of Christ and with the perfect peace that can be known through our Lord to these new friends. And we heard some stories. So one new friend from Iran, she was receiving death threats. She was in tears because women are being hanged in Iran. And so she's very fearful, very traumatized, very upset. And yet, praise God, we can share God's love with her. We can share about the perfect peace that can be known through Jesus with her. And so we praise God that we know the Prince of Peace, that he is sovereign Lord, that he's in control, that even though the world is very broken, the world is often... we're fallen, we're lost, but the Lord can touch hearts and transform. And he's using the church, he's using the church family, he's using LCM alongside the church in London to be sharing that great good news that we have in Jesus. We also spoke with a gentleman from, he's a Kurd, and he said that he had experienced great love and was touched by the honesty of Kurdish Christians. And that has really opened his heart to wanting to know more about the gospel when he came to London. So that's given the church in London what a wonderful opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with all these new friends from overseas. And praise God for all these wonderful opportunities. At the LCM Centre that I am based at is it's in London, but it doesn't seem like London. It seems like Pakistan or India, where between a mosque and a Sikh temple. So there again, lots of opportunities to be sharing the wonderful good news that we have in Jesus, that we can know his love, that we can know his peace through the saving work that he's done for us on the cross for us. So a wonderful, diverse mission field in London, and a lot of work to be done, but we're thankful that through LCM we can serve alongside his church and to be a great witness to the perfect peace that could be known in Jesus Christ. So thanks for letting me share. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Carrie. All right, let's pray. Father, we want to give you thanks for Carrie and the team members of LCM. We want to pray that as they pass the message of hope and peace to the communities that you have led them to, that they will do so with grace, with wisdom, with courage, with boldness, and with love. We ask, Lord, that you protect them from the attacks of the evil one and that they will be a blessing for your kingdom. We pray also that as we prepare to hear your word of peace, that you speak into our minds, our hearts, and our souls. All this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, in Scripture, our Lord himself says this in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Let me repeat. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Church, this is the gospel of Christ. Recently, we just had our general election, and I believe that for most Malaysians, one thing that we have held as a priority, even above certain parties or candidates winning, is peace. I believe that for most Malaysians, regardless of the outcome, all we desire is to have a peaceful transition so that we'll be able to carry on to live peaceful lives. Indeed, peace is a privilege and peace should never be taken for granted. So brothers and sisters in Christ, may I encourage you in your prayers to always thank God that we live in a peaceful nation, that we live in a place where war and conflict is relatively absent. However, friends, even while we live in a nation that is peaceful, I believe that for most of us, we do not have peaceful lives. For some of us, it can be things that are trivial to cause us to not be at peace. For example, it could be that awesome dress that you saw at Marks and Spencer last Sunday that you want to buy, but it's 100 ringgit above your budget. It could be something that you are craving for. Maybe it's Korean barbecue or some awesome hot pot somewhere. Or maybe it could be tonight, as you look forward to the World Cup final, because if you happen to be a France fan, you will have no peace because you know that you're playing Argentina, whom the Messiah plays for. All right, but on a side note, today for us in PGESC, we are having a watch party. So all are invited to join. We'll be having it in Studio One at 11 p.m. This evening. Yeah, you're allowed to come to celebrate if you are supporting the winning team and to comfort the fans of the losing team. So yeah, we hope to see you there this evening. All right, everyone's welcome. All right. But these things are trivial, all right? So while trivial matters cause us to have no peace, sometimes more significant matters might disrupt our lives. And sometimes they can leave lasting impact. Some of us might be struggling because of inflation, because of debt. And maybe that's why you have no peace. Some of us maybe are struggling with conflicts in relationships. Maybe with our spouses, maybe with our children, maybe with our parents. Some of us are struggling in our health, whether it's physical or mental. And some of us are struggling as we serve and care for our loved ones who are struggling with these issues. Some of us might struggle with grief, the loss of a loved one, whether recently or a while ago. Maybe some of us are struggling with a harmful addiction that we just can't stop. Friends, while we live in a peaceful nation, we still live in a broken world. And because of the brokenness of our world, sadly, we do not have peace. And friends, if you are struggling with any of the items that I mentioned above, my prayer is that the peace of the Lord that surpasses all understanding will be with you, will minister to you, and will heal you. Now, church, I believe that we desire and pray for peace all the time. And this is not just for us Christians. For all humanity, regardless of race or religion, peace is extremely valued. And we can see the evidence for this because the word peace is prevalent in our speech, our culture, and even the names of certain places. For example, for our Malay friends, when they greet each other, they begin by saying the word Assalamualaikum, and this word literally means peace be with you. Another example is some of our church members live in Alam Damai, Cheras. And Alam means realm, and Damai means peace. So the word Alam Damai literally translates into a realm of peace. And even the name of the city, Jerusalem, derives from the word Salem or Salam. And so the name Jerusalem also literally translates to the city of peace. So church, peace is desired and valued by all humanity. But if peace is desired and valued by all of us, maybe the question is this. If we all want peace, if we all value peace, why is there conflict? Why is there violence? Why is there hurt and harm in our world today? So for us this morning, I think it's good that we can talk about peace from the view of Scripture. And one thing I must mention, that when we think about this word peace, usually we think about tranquility, about calmness, about an absence of violence, or just a good feeling. But friends, the problem is that this word peace in the Bible might be very different from our understanding from how we use this word today. So the word peace is actually mentioned many times in the Bible, 367 times to be exact, and is found in both the Old and the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, which was written in Hebrew, the word peace is shalom. And in the New Testament, which was written in Greek, the word peace is irene. So to all the Irenes and Irenes in our church, your name literally means peace. And friends, if we look at Scripture, we can see that the biblical understanding of peace is very different from our understanding today. Because instead of referring to just calmness, tranquility, or an absence of violence, the word for peace, shalom, means completeness, or it means to make whole. So when a Jew greet each other with the word shalom, which they do so at every opportunity, what they are doing is that they are wishing completeness or wholeness to the other person. That when they wish each other shalom, they are wishing completeness in the person's work, in the person's relationship, in the person's family, and the person's spirituality and worship. So this is important. Peace in the Bible is not just an absence of violence, tranquility, a good feeling or whatsoever, but it has a much bigger, deeper, and richer meaning. Because peace in the Bible refers to completeness and the need to make things whole. But friends, it's also important to note that while the Jews wish each other shalom on a regular basis, I must mention that wishing each other peace have no magical effect whatsoever. It's not able to alter reality. It's just like how card game players shout "huat ah" and "picture ah" as loud as they want, but they'll still lose when they play card games during Chinese New Year. Likewise, the greetings of shalom doesn't magically influence a person's well-being. In fact, just like all human beings, the Jews lived during many difficult situations. They lived during times of war. The poor suffered on the oppression of the rich. Many died from diseases and illnesses over the years. Many has grieved the loss of a loved one. So the reason for this is because, as I mentioned earlier, in our world, there is no such thing as true peace. True peace, true shalom, true completeness is impossible because there was only one period of time where the world and humanity knew true peace. And this was when we were in the Garden of Eden before the fall. So friends, in the Garden of Eden, humanity had all that they need. They had food and water. They had companionship with one another. They had a purpose, a job to do as God's gardener. They spent their days not only with each other, but God walked among them. And so in Genesis chapter 1 to 2, this is the only time humanity has ever known true peace. True completeness, where not only their physical, relational, and emotional needs were met, but what completed everything was that God Himself walked with them. And because humanity was created to be in a relationship with God, everything was perfect. Everything was complete. And this is the true era of shalom peace. But sadly, we knew that humanity fell into sin. And sin causes us to do two things. The first is to reject God. And the second is the birth of a self-seeking, self-preserving nature. And because of these two things, humanity will never experience true peace again. We read that in Scripture just a short moment after being expelled from the Garden of Eden. We read of the first murder in history where Cain killed his brother Abel. And over the hundreds or thousands or millions of years that followed, the cycle of killing, stealing, and getting ahead of one another has continued all over the world. And sure, there were seasons where it was like today, where the world would experience a season with less violence, with less wars, but still, there is no completeness. And it was only until God called a man named Abraham, and he made a promise for him and his descendants where the world would get a hint or a glimpse to what true peace would look like again. And this was God's plan, that through the nation of Israel, through their laws, through their practice, and through their worship, the world would know what completeness is. And this is why God gave them these laws, so that they would stand out from their neighbors. And I want to talk about two such laws. In the first law is a Sabbath. In those days, everybody worked every day, all the time. But God gave the Israelites this law so that they can set apart one day to rest. In fact, so important was this law that anyone who broke it would be stoned to death. Now, this was unheard of during those times. Can you imagine being stoned to death or failing to take annual leave? All right, but friends, God wanted the Israelites to obey this law so that the other neighboring countries would take note of this so that they can have a peek at what true peace will look like. Now, another law of note was the year of Jubilee, that every 50 years, the Israelites were commanded to celebrate this year of rest. This was a year where it was a year-long holiday. People rested from their work. The slaves were set free and all debts were cancelled. Now, for the bank managers here in PJEFC, can you imagine working with such a law? Now, it would be impossible to do business because people can just abuse this law to get over the issue of paying back debt. But friends, this law is important because it gives slaves and people who are in debt a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for a fresh start. It gives them hope. It gives them a second chance. And this was done so again so that nations around Israel would be able to have a peek at what true shalom and what true peace looks like. That as God dwelt in their presence, as the nation of Israel observed the laws that were given by God, they would have true peace and that they would be complete and that as the neighboring nations observe them, they will come to know the one true God. But friends, again, we know that the Israelites failed because rather than helping the poor and needy, we know from the book of Amos that the rich oppressed the poor, that the rich took advantage of them and began building their own kingdoms of gold. We know that the Israelites disobeyed the commandments time after time and they took the presence of God for granted. In fact, the Jews believed that because God's presence dwelt in the temple, in their city, God would never allow this city to be conquered, no matter how sinful the Israelites became. But that is why the Lord allowed the city of Jerusalem and the temple to be destroyed, and that the people of Jerusalem be casted out into exile in a foreign land. But friends, if this was the ending, there is no hope for this world. But again, it was around this time, just 100 years before the destruction of Jerusalem, where God would send his servant Isaiah to proclaim that one day a child would be born. And this child would be called a Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, an Everlasting Father, and also the Prince of Peace. Remember last week, Pastor Jeremy reminded us that names are important because these names indicate the kind of Savior that Jesus will be. And so Jesus will not only be a Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, an Everlasting Father, but Jesus will also be the Prince of Peace. Friends, although Israel failed to show true peace to our world, God is still working all the time. And this time, he will send his son Jesus as a peace bringer to establish a new kingdom on earth that will show the world what true peace is. This is a spiritual kingdom, one that knows no bounds, one that will never end. This is a kingdom that is like a mustard seed. It starts small, but slowly and surely it grows into a huge tree. And friends, this is the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom that allows the world to have glimpses to what true peace looks like. And one day when the kingdom grows into full fruition, this kingdom will be complete. It will be whole and humanity will finally experience what true peace is once again. And because our Lord Jesus has conquered sin and death, we know that this coming kingdom will be as complete as when humanity dwelt in the days of the Garden of Eden, where our physical, our emotional, our spiritual, and our relational needs are met, and humanity and God will dwell together once again forever and ever. Church, this is the picture of what true peace looks like. This is true completeness. But maybe you have another question. Yes, the kingdom it looks complete, but what exactly is the kingdom of God? Now, recently, as I mentioned earlier, we had our general election, and as a result, we have a new government and a new prime minister sworn in. So a question for us is, how do we know how this government would look like? Well, the answer is that we can have a picture of how this government will look like when we look at their manifesto. But friends, while human manifestos will disappoint us and sometimes might never come to pass, we know that the Word of God is eternal and faithful. And so from Matthew chapter 5, we can see Jesus' manifesto about this kingdom of God. So in this passage, Jesus himself would describe this kingdom to his disciples, where he tells us how this kingdom will look like. So church, this is the manifesto of the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Church, so if you are poor in spirit, if you mourn, if you are meek, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, if you are merciful, if you are poor in heart, if you are a peacemaker, if you are persecuted, take heart. Because while in this world, while you will suffer, there will come a time where you will experience true peace. Because friends, if you are experiencing any of the above, the kingdom of God is for you. And this is a kingdom that is complete, that is whole, and is a kingdom of true peace. Our Lord Jesus Christ has come, and one day all of us, we will experience true shalom. And this morning, I want to speak to three groups of people. The first group is for those who are not at peace. These are people that might be suffering, that might be experiencing pain, grief, anxiety, and much more. And friends, I want to say this morning that I acknowledge your pain, your struggles. And I want to say that as long as we are in this world, true peace is hard to come by. But friends, here is a word of encouragement that you are not alone. God has given you community, His people, friends, a church, a cell group that will journey with you, that will cry alongside with you, that will pray for you, that will minister to you, sometimes in ways beyond our hope or expectations. And secondly, friends, if you are suffering, take heart, because it takes heart in the hope that we have that one day true peace is possible. So friends, if you are suffering, my prayer is that the Prince of Peace, that the peace of the Lord that surpasses mere human understanding will be with you in your season of darkness. And as you struggle with these issues, my prayer is that the word that is that the people of God will continue to minister to you where you are at. Now, for the second group of people, you might feel that you are not at peace with God. Maybe it's because you have backslided for a while. Maybe because of something you have done. Maybe you feel that the sin that you have struggled that you struggle with is too great, and maybe you're deeply ashamed about your actions and that you feel that God will never forgive you. Maybe you're even apathetic. Maybe you don't even care about being at peace with God. But friends, here is a word for you that Jesus is the peace bringer. He is the Prince of Peace. And in fact, this very morning, God is longing to make peace with each and every one of you. Friends, we thank God that the Prince of Peace is the one that initiates. We alone, we cannot choose to make peace with God, but thankfully, God is the one that chooses to make peace with us. And friends, if you respond to Him, no matter what you have done, no matter how far you think you are away from God, Jesus Christ will make peace with you again. So friends, when we sing the closing song in a moment, I ask that you take time to ponder on these things. And as long as you respond with a little prayer in your heart, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, will be at peace with you again. Now the third group is for the rest of us. And this is a question for us. What should we do with this message of peace? Friends, remember the mistakes of the Israelites. They kept this message of peace for themselves, and they applied peace in a self-seeking and self-serving way. But friends, remember that we are building the kingdom of God. We are building this kingdom of peace. And friends, after hearing this message, the question is, how should we respond? Should we go home thinking, wow, God's peace is so amazing, and continue to live life as it is? And the answer is obviously no. Because as God's people, it is our job, it is our calling, it is our duty to be bearers of peace to wherever we are. Our calling is to make whole or to make complete wherever we are placed. And this can be as simple as being kind and fair to the waiters, to our cleaners, to our subordinates. This can mean walking with someone who's struggling with physical or mental health, helping a friend, a colleague, or a stranger in need. Or it could be as simple as making our world more wholesome one step at a time. Church, this is in fact is the reason why we give the benediction at the end of the service. So at the end of Sunday service, the pastor in charge will pronounce the benediction for us. The benediction is a prayer of peace and a prayer of blessing. But this prayer of peace and blessing is not for us to keep. Because after we came to church this morning, after we came and sang and worshiped the Lord, after we remember His goodness and grace by celebrating the Holy Communion, and after we heard the word of the Lord being read and preached to us, we don't just go home happy and think, wow, what a wonderful Sunday morning we have. No, we come to church to be recharged so that when we go back out into the world, we can be an instrument of peace. We can help bring wholeness to our workplace, our families, our friends, and whenever we meet or whoever we meet after we leave. So friends, right now we will have the closing song. And in this closing song, we will sing of the day our Savior was born. And this was a day where the peace bringer, the Prince of Peace, came into our world. And because of Him, we will one day experience true peace. And as we sing the song, I want us to reflect on the words that have been said this morning. So friends, are you at peace with God? Or how can we bring peace, wholeness, and completeness to our world? So friends, let me pass the time to the worship team as we sing. Let us take some time to reflect on these things.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.